What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometer range. Recharge your soul.
Amongst other things, retraining courses for motorists who are found to be speeding or engaging in dangerous driving. The Minister joins me now. Minister, you're welcome to the show. Talk me through your plan.
Good evening. Well, we know road safety is a priority in my department and in the country in general. We have brought in a number of measures earlier this year, starting with the Road Traffic Act, which was passed through the Oireachtas in April of this year. Further regulations were introduced on e-scooters, on data sharing, on mandatory drug testing at the scene of collisions in May of this year, being enforced for the June bank holiday weekend. But I'm a new minister and I'm taking a look at what else can we do. And one of the things that strikes me is that for problem drivers, what I mean by a problem driver, somebody who is racking up maybe 6 or more points, maybe 6, 9 points. Now, these are only early kind of, I suppose, ideas. So we'll have to flesh out the detail of it. But somebody who is repeatedly either speeding or being distracted by using a phone while driving are other inherently risky and dangerous behaviours, as well as getting the penalty points, which they already get. There should be some kind of sanction or some kind of awareness training to say, well, now you have to attend maybe a 3-day course in awareness of what accidents actually entail, you know, the harm that can be caused, the fatalities, the collisions, you know, why all the different danger points that surround the behaviour you've been just indulging in. That is common in other parts of the law. So if you go before the district court, say, on a violence-related charge, it's very often that you would be sent on an anger management course or some kind of awareness course. If you go before a court on a addiction-related course, like a drugs or alcohol-fueled crime, very often, as part of your sanction, you'll be told you must attend 12 sessions of addiction counselling, for example. So I see this as no different. It's a problem behaviour. It's habit-based. So part of it is risky, reckless behaviour. Part of it is maybe a lack of awareness or lack of consideration. And as part of the response to that, I think if we were to send people who continue to offend on these kind of courses, I think it might assist with their understanding. And also, I think it would act as a deterrent, because the kind of people who were speeding down the road in a hurry to get somewhere fast in a very reckless manner, probably the last thing they want to do is spend 3 days attending an advanced driving school, being told how to slow down and why.
And, I mean, how do you imagine it working then in practical terms? I mean, is there a test at the end of it that they have to sit again, or is it simply kind of completion of the course and you're back on the road?
That is actually, I think, a really good question, and that, I suppose, brings me on to something else. And I stress, I'm a new minister in the job, but I don't know how much time I'm going to have, so I'm really just, I suppose, thinking about it's early stages of thinking through some thoughts on some measures we could introduce. But we are looking at a review of the Road Safety Authority at the moment as well. That report is on my desk. So we are in a time of change and flux in this environment. In terms of the test, we have a system at the moment where you sit a driving test. Most people do it in maybe their 20s when they're maybe just getting on the road first, and pretty much never sit another test until the day they stop driving. It could be 50 years later. Technology changes, the roads change, habits change. People maybe get out of practice or even, dare I say, develop bad habits. And we never say, well, actually, have you presented for a test recently? And we know you did the test 50 years ago. Are you still as proficient as you were at the start? Now, maybe for the majority of drivers, that's fine if they're going about their business and not getting into difficulty and not causing others danger. But for the drivers that are causing difficulties and are engaging in risky behaviour, maybe we should, at the end of these kind of courses, say, and as part of this, we're also going to get you to resit at least a portion of your test or pass some sort of standard to prove you should be trusted to get back on the road.
Is there an argument that everyone does it? That you maybe don't know who those risky drivers are before the fact? So maybe just every 10 years you got to reset a test?
That is an argument, but I wouldn't go that far at this stage. I suppose political experience has taught me baby steps sometimes are best. And when you're bringing change to an area, you bring it in incrementally and you see what works and I suppose tweak and improve the model before you roll it out further. There's certainly an argument for that, but I wouldn't be proposing to go there at this stage.
There'd be people listening and it kind of in broad terms, they might agree with what you're saying, a lot of it, others that disagree, but even those who agree, they might suggest that one of the shortcomings in the plan is identifying those problem drivers in the first place, that, you know, we have an issue with enforcement here. And I often talk on this show, you know, when anybody suggests hiking penalty points or anything like that, that I could kind of have driven double the speed limit on my commute all the way from Kilkenny to Dublin today, and it wouldn't have made a blind bit of difference to my penalty points because there wasn't a guard on the road.
Yeah, well, that, I mean, look, that is part of the solution as well. We have to talk about there are three E's: education, engineering, and enforcement. I've been speaking to the education piece. The engineering goes to the technologies. You know, we talk about things like the NCT, but engineering also means how technology adapts. So we now have Apple Play on our dashboards. We have other Android systems. We can watch a movie or flick to the sports headlines as we drive along. And really, we have to question whether that's a safe, responsible behavior to be engaging in. So I think we have to move our engineering into that space as well in terms of what is now available in a modern motor vehicle. But in terms of enforcement, the Garda Commissioner did announce a few months ago that every uniformed officer would put in 30 minutes of high visibility policing per shift. So that should be leading to an increased presence on our roads. And I welcome the Commissioner's commitment to that. I will be meeting the Assistant Commissioner, the man with responsibility for roads policing, in the near future to, I suppose, discuss that further and see what else can be done. But we do need that because we do need enforcement. We can have all the rules in the world. If there isn't somebody there to police them, they're not really going to be very effective. There are speed cameras being rolled out. I travelled down country last week, and I think it's just beyond Limerick. There is a set of speed cameras to calculate your average speed. I'm told by locals that's extremely effective. People are highly aware when they enter that zone and when they leave that zone that they will be tracked and the speed will be calculated. And if they've gone over the edge or over the top, and I think the Port Tunnel would have, for example, similar calculations. And again, that's been quite effective in reducing speeds in those areas. So it doesn't have to be about manpower, womanpower. It can also be about using clever technology to monitor behaviours.
And as kind of that technology in cars becomes more ubiquitous and there are fewer older cars and more newer cars on the road, do you suspect that that'll play a greater role? That we will have the likes of kind of speed limiters in cars?
Yes, I think so. Well, already there's cruise control. Some people use that if they're on the motorway. They flick it to maybe just below the speed limit on if they're on a good road on a good day and run with that. I also know more modern vehicles have an auto stop. It can throw you the first time it kicks in, but some of the more modern vehicles, if they anticipate an accident or collision just ahead, they almost bring the car to a halt. Now, obviously, that's going to be very uncomfortable, if not maybe a little bit, you might throw the passengers itself. So it's not something you want to be doing every day of the week, but that is built in. And there are more sensors, there are more data points, there's more indicators. So I think cars are becoming safer by and large. More modern,
but yet they can all still drive, most of them, about 200 kilometres an hour.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I suppose the speed limit is 120. Most cars will probably in their average day go anything from 30 to 120, depending what they're about, whether they're urban driving or driving the motorway or whatever. But yeah, but like, I think the technology is there. The engine is there. We're not going to start putting in reducing engine sizes, etc. But yeah, maybe speed limit is a thing to look at. But I suppose this is part of the solution, exploring the engineering capacity as well and seeing what isn't. And I suppose the manufacturers can contribute to that debate as well.
James Lawless, Minister of State at the Department of Transport. Minister, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.